It all happened during Christmas time. The Wonderland Mall, located in Livonia, Michigan, was filled with shoppers on the afternoon of Sunday, December 11th, 1994. The mall itself was reflective of the festive time of year. There were several Christmas ornaments, Santa Clauses at the mall, Christmas trees, and festive displays throughout the stores. This typically wonderful time of year would find its positivity being challenged when a voice came onto the mall's loudspeaker. At around 4 p.m., an announcement was made to the shoppers of the Wonderland Mall that a child was missing. As the mall began to clear out, the local police arrived and began to conduct their search for the missing boy. While it was ultimately unsuccessful, it did bring about one very surprising suspect, a suspect you wouldn't believe. This is the case of Dwan Sims.
Stop. This message could save you from investing your precious time into a true crime story that goes nowhere. Avoid that disappointment. You need True Crime Feed Podcast. Unlimited premium true crime curated for you. Find out about a female serial dater turned serial killer. The truth about the DARE program. Bizarre black markets, political murder plots, and a school for troubled teens so horrific it could be a Stephen King novel. True Crime Feed sifts through the archives from the past decade to select the best cases and gives you a quick overview sprinkled with a teensy bit of humor, plus a weekly top three power ranking for shows currently trending, and lets you know what shows to send down your podcast queue trapdoor. You know you want those thrill chills, so come and get them. Subscribe to True Crime Feed. That's True Crime F-E-E-D wherever you get your podcasts.
Four-year-old Dwan Sims is remembered as being a normal young boy. He was bright, energetic, and loved to smile. Dwan lived in Detroit with his mother, Dwana, and her boyfriend, Victor Jackson. At the time of Dwan's disappearance, the family had just recently moved into a new apartment located on Vaughn Street. While their neighbors had not really gotten the time to get to know them on a personal level, they remembered the family being very pleasant and respectful members of the community. Dwana worked at a telemarketing agency during the week and enrolled Dwan in Sunnybrook Day Nursery so that he wouldn't be home alone. The Simses really came across as a typical working family. This would make that tragic weekend all the more devastating. The weekend in question began just like any other. Dwana and her cousins had gotten together that Saturday to get their hair done at their favorite salon. As per usual, Dwana brought her son with her to the beauty salon. Dwan would sit and watch cartoons while eating the food that they had stopped to get beforehand. Dwana then went out with her boyfriend, Victor. Dwan had to spend the night at a family friend's house while his mother was on her date. At some time after 10 a.m. the following morning, Dwana picked her son up from her friend's house. According to Dwana, there was no initial intention to go to the mall that day. When she returned home with Dwan after stopping at the laundromat, she saw her boyfriend taking a nap and decided not to disturb him. Instead of staying home and trying to keep quiet, she decided to take Dwan to the mall. Oddly, a family friend contradicts that version of events. The friend says that she saw Dwan that morning and that he was constantly telling her how excited he was to go to the mall and get new toys. If the trip to the mall was a last-second decision, how could Dwan have anticipated it? Unfortunately, there is no way of knowing which story is true. Either way, Dwana did take the 30-minute drive to the mall that day. According to Dwana, she had gotten to the mall with her son at around 1:45 that afternoon. She says that she took Dwan through the Target entrance because she wanted to begin her shopping there. Unfortunately, it was too crowded and hard to navigate. She decided to leave and come back later in the hopes that the crowd died down. Once out into the rest of the mall, Dwana says that her son immediately fixated on the toy store. He told his mom that he wanted to look at the Power Rangers, but she told him he could not. Dwana continued to walk around the rest of the mall before she had a startling realization. Duan was no longer by her side. Duana would later tell investigators that she rarely held her son's hand because he liked to feel independent. Normally, if he did wander off, he would return to her side without too much time passing by. But this time was horrifyingly different. She says that she immediately began looking throughout the rest of the mall, trying to find her son. Duana spent 2 hours going from store to store in search of her missing child. After having no luck, she decided to get help from the mall's security team. She saw someone holding a radio and told them the situation. The woman was actually a member of the cleaning staff, but she did use her radio to call the security office. They immediately sprung into action and began their search around the mall. Sadly, they had no luck. There was no trace of Duan Sims. Coincidentally, Duana's mother, Beverly Harris, worked at the mall. She was a part-time employee at Lady Foot Locker and was working a shift that day. Duana went to the store in the hopes that Duan had somehow found his way there to see his grandmother, but he wasn't there. Beverly Harris joined the search once she was made aware of the situation. She was also upset with her daughter. How could her grandson have been missing in the mall she worked at for more than 2 hours, and she was told about it so long after the fact? The two of them, along with the mall's security team, searched the entire mall to no avail. That is when the security team decided to notify the Livonia Police Department. When they arrived, they conducted their own search of the mall, including areas that were easily accessible to customers. They found nothing to suggest that Duan was in the mall and were now afraid that he had left the building entirely, but a search of the surrounding areas still came up empty. Detectives were now faced with the question, where was Duan Sims? The Livonia Police Department enlisted the help of the Detroit Police Department, the Michigan State Police, and the FBI in their search for Duan Sims. The newly formed team conducted a third search of the mall. That is where a very telling trend would begin to take form. The police dogs brought in were unable to find a trace of Duan throughout the entire mall. Then, the mall staff was interviewed. Shockingly, not one staff member was able to remember seeing Duan at the mall that day. They did, however, recall seeing Duana, but she was not with anyone. At this point, the team needed to spread its resources. Some detectives were sent to conduct interviews with Duana, her boyfriend Victor Jackson, her mother Beverly Harris, and even Duan's biological father. The latter was cleared as a suspect almost immediately after being able to provide the police with a solid alibi. While those interviews were being conducted, other members of the team combed through hours of surveillance footage in the hopes that Duan would show up on camera. They sat and watched the tapes for several hours. While they never saw Duan appear on the tapes, what they did see would lead to them finding a brand new direction with which to take this case. As mentioned, Duan never appears on the tapes, not even once. Someone who does appear on the tapes, though, is Duana. However, she does not appear on the tapes at around 1:45, the time that she told the investigators she had arrived at the mall with her son. Duana does not appear on the tapes until 4 p.m. That is the exact time that the cleaning lady told the investigators Duana approached her to ask for help in locating her missing child. The tapes show Duana entering the mall at around that time and immediately walking up to the cleaning lady. There was no footage of the 2-hour solo search she claims took place beforehand. If Duana had searched the entire mall for that long, it would have been impossible for her to not have been seen on camera multiple times, but she never appears on camera until the time during which she reported her son missing. It was becoming clear to the investigators that Duana was not being truthful. More importantly, it was also clear to the investigators that Duan Sims was never in the mall that afternoon. This information would change the scope of the entire investigation. Now, investigators were starting to turn their skepticism on Duana. Under further questioning, She stuck to the story she had previously given about being in the mall since 1:45. She had no explanation for why she didn't show up on camera until much later. She also couldn't explain why Duan was never once seen on camera either. Duana did consent to the police searching her home, and nothing was found there. She also agreed to a polygraph test. By that point, it was becoming apparent that Duana was unofficially a suspect. Beverly Harris believed that her daughter was the victim of something called recency bias. That is a phenomenon in which a person focuses so much on a recent event that it colors the way in which they are looking at the current situation they're dealing with. Beverly points to Susan Smith's case as the reason. Just 6 weeks before Duan went missing, Susan Smith claimed that a black man abducted her two young children. It would later be revealed that Susan murdered both of her kids. Beverly believes that the recency of this case caused the police to be overly skeptical of Duana when they were hitting roadblocks in the search for her son. The police vehemently disagreed. I'd mentioned earlier that Duana agreed to take a polygraph test. She actually took two tests, and she failed them both. Still, the police were unable to find any physical evidence that implicated Duana in any foul play. Despite that, the police believed that she had murdered her son, and that finding his body would be enough to build a case against her. A strategically conducted search of her home and its surrounding areas found nothing. For Duan's family, this new direction was frustrating. His family didn't believe that he was dead. They instead believed that he had been abducted and was still alive. They posted missing persons posters throughout the community and offered a $5,000 reward for any information that would bring them some answers. The police have also been looking for involvement from the public. To their credit, people have called in several times saying that they spotted Duan out in public. Sadly, the police were never able to verify the alleged sightings when they followed up on the call. Much to the chagrin of Beverly Harris, the police continued to publicly question Duana's version of events, even with the fact that everyone they interviewed said that Duana was a very loving and caring parent who showed no signs of wanting to harm her son. The problem, though, is that they cannot find any understandable reason for what the surveillance video showed. Duana began to feel that she needed to defend herself against the accusations of the police, leading her to hire a lawyer. The public scrutiny she faced as a result of the accusations caused her to leave her job and spend the majority of her days afraid to leave the house. The detectives still believe that they have zeroed in on the right person. The key for them is to illuminate the mystery behind what happened before Duana entered the mall that afternoon. They say that the accounted time fell between noon and 3 p.m. Duana stuck to her initial story that she took Duan with her to a local laundromat after picking him up from her friend's house that morning. She said that Duan was watching cartoons on the TV there while she was dealing with the clothes. The detectives visited the laundromat and specifically looked into the TV they had. The television had very few channels, none of which would have been showing cartoons on a Sunday morning. While that is not a particularly strong piece of evidence, it is yet another inconsistency that the police feel they cannot ignore. Duana also claimed that she brought her son to her mother's house at around 1 p.m. And again, no one there remembered her stopping by with Duan. The police have yet to find any witnesses that can help them fill in the gaps of time. And many years later, there would be an unexpected development. In the year 2019, a man reached out to the police to say that he believed he was the missing Duan Sims. He agreed to submit a DNA test to either verify or invalidate his belief. Duana had an in-person conversation with the man while they were waiting for the test results. She did not believe he was her son. The results of the DNA test would validate her feeling. The following year, Duana Harris died of a heart attack on December 10, 2020. To the day she died, she maintained that she had nothing to do with her son's disappearance. A computer-generated photo was produced showing what the missing child may look like today. But sadly, all these years later, the fate of Duan Sims remains still an unsolved mystery,